Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, it's been a breaking news as we start this hour. ESPN's Todd Archer reporting that the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott have agreed to terms on a six-year contract extension. That news just breaking. They did arrive in Dallas yesterday. His agent said that they were very, very close on a new deal. In fact, his agent was so confident a deal would get done quickly, he said that Elliott is actually in great shape and could be ready to go for the Cowboys in their season opener against the Giants. Could report to practice today, although I doubt that. That seems really, really quick.
Now, he'll be ready to go Sunday?
Yeah, he said he'll be ready to go Sunday, but practice today, I don't know if I would go that far. But then again, I don't know. I mean, you know these guys, they could jump in at any moment, I guess. He says he's been keeping in great shape in Cabo, so maybe they sign this morning and then they go.
I mean, how hard is it? You just run, get the ball handed off to you, and then you try to score a touchdown.
Yeah, so.
And if you're him, you try to find a Salvation Army bucket to jump into.
That's right. That's right. So, did Elliott win? Yes. Did the Cowboys win? Well, you know what? The Cowboys never said they weren't going to work out a deal with him.
Yep.
They never, at any time, they never said, hey, we're not talking. Get your butt to camp because we still have you for 2 years under your rookie deal. So shut up and get over here. They never said that. Jerry Jones always said, I want to work on deals, long-term deals for my guys. That's Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott. They just signed Lyle Collins to a new deal. He gets $56.5 or $55.5 million on a new deal. And Collins is a great story. Remember, he didn't get drafted.
Yeah.
Remember that? Because his girlfriend died or was murdered. And at the time of the draft, police were questioning him about it. And everybody was, I don't know about this.
Yeah, I don't want to touch that. I don't want to touch that.
He was a great offensive lineman at LSU. And teams were like, I don't know about this. Police want to question him. Well, he had nothing to do with it. They just wanted to kind of clear him. And when it was all said and done, he was free to sign with anybody who he wanted. Cowboys brought him in. And a couple of years later, he signs an extension for $56 or $55 million. So good story for him. But Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys have reached a contract extension. That is the latest this morning, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, the latest on the breaking news, a six-year contract extension for Ezekiel Elliott. What's the details on that, Ron? He's about $15 million a year?
Yeah. It's a six-year contract for 6 year contract for a running back.
For a running back.
I mean,
that puts him at 30.
Yeah, he's 24. So they've locked him down until he's 30 years old, can't go anywhere. 6 years, $90 million, more than $45 million of it guaranteed.
Wow.
I am so confused right now.
They made him an offer to be the second highest paid running back in the league.
Right.
And then he said no, and they went, okay.
Fine. We're going to smash records then.
Now, okay, you called our bluff. Fine. Here's the deal that makes you the highest paid running back in the league.
I mean, they didn't go, okay, you know what, we're going to match Gurley's contract, or, you know, maybe we'll do one better, because Gurley is a 4 year, $57.5 million contract. Why couldn't they go 4 years, $60 million?
Yeah, well, I think 4 years, $60 million is about what Gurley is, right? Or close enough
to
Gurley. What's Gurley's deal? He's $50 million?
$57.5 million over four years.
Okay, so he's about 14 change.
Yeah.
So now Ezekiel Elliott is now $15 million a year. That makes him the highest paid running back.
The guaranteed money is just shy of $22 million.
That's crazy.
So out of that contract, he's just shy. I mean, this is more than half of his contract is guaranteed.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I am really confused. I got to tell you something. And again, this is why I would probably be the worst player agent in the history of sports, because his client had no leverage other than hope that Tony Pollard is terrible and the Cowboys lose games. That was it. That was it. He couldn't run for anybody else. He couldn't play for anybody else. That's the only thing he could do is pray that the Cowboys stunk without him and that Jerry Jones would panic and run back to the bargaining table. This is, nah, we're good. You know what? We wanted to see if you'd bite on the first offer. You didn't, so we had this in mind the whole time. Here you go.
That is, yeah. Right? I don't even know what to say about it right now. I'm sitting here, I'm trying to rationalize in my head, like, how do you come at one point saying, hey, we'll make you the second highest paid running back in NFL history, to turning around like, you know what, you're going to be the highest paid running back because the second highest, I mean, there's going to be a waiting line just to reach you.
Yeah, and by the way,
no one's going to reach you.
Good for them for not biting. I would have bit. Again, oh, yeah. I would have been the worst agent in the world. I would have said, hey, sign that because it could get worse. Instead, his agent's like, no. My guy is the best running back in the game. He's the leading rusher. Two of the 3 years he's been in the league and would have been the leading rusher in the 30 if he wasn't suspended. So, you know what? No, we're going to sit and wait until you make us an offer that makes him the highest paid running back in
now,
the NFL.
Now, where in his contract is it about infractions with the law? Because he seems to get into trouble from time to time.
Yeah, he does. That's true. That would be interesting to see that one. But he had 1,600 yards in his rookie year, right?
I mean, I'm really confused of the Cowboys' negotiation tactics.
It's like Jerry Jones was probably like, so here's what we got. We got two offers. We've got the super secret. We'll give it to him offer, and then let's just see if he'll bite on this one. And then he goes, no. And he goes, all right, fine, here you go. Like, the Cowboys didn't play hardball at all. Like, I thought, play a game with Tony Pollard and see if you win without Ezekiel Elliott, and then see if he'll be pouring back into the negotiation table and accept that original offer. They didn't even wait. They said no. But again, to the Cowboys' credit, they never once said they weren't going to do a deal like this. They never once said that they were not going to play, they're not going to make a deal. This is ridiculous. They always talked about doing this, and now they've done it.
Do you think that part of this deal is a makeup from Jerry Jones saying, sorry about that Zeke who comment?
That's possible. You'd like to think that wouldn't be in the negotiation ploy, but I could see that.
Do you think...
Sorry about that. That was a funny joke. I thought I was making a joke, and it didn't go very well. And
I would love for somewhere in the contract...
Here's an extra $10 million guaranteed.
Yeah, I would love for somewhere in the contract it says, Jerry Jones must acknowledge who Zeke Elliott is.
I hope a reporter asks Jerry Jones that in his first statement. It's like, okay, Jerry, who again got this deal? Ezekiel Elliott. Who? Ezekiel Elliott. Can you spell that? Who's that? Who is this Ezekiel Elliott you talk about? Just play with Jerry like that. See if Jerry plays along. God. Where did he go to school? Ohio State. Are you sure he went to Ohio State?
No, he went to The Ohio State.
Okay, The Ohio State.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. Did he do anything particularly well in his NFL career? Did he do good things? Is he a decent player? Because I got to look him up because I have no idea who he is.
Well,
I would totally play that up with Jerry Jones just to see if Jerry bites.
Oh, totally.
Wouldn't you? Because Jerry might bite on a joke like that and have a good time with it.
And the best thing about it, Jerry can come back and go, yeah, you know, he did do some good. He once donated himself to the Salvation Army.
That's great. That would continue the joke, right? That would be funny. That could be a really funny exchange.
Zeke who?
Zeke who? You tell us, Jerry.
If this was the XFL, Zeke would put that on the back of his
course.
Jersey.
Of course. That's a great point. That's a great point. Zeke who? He goes to the XFL, that who is on the back of his jersey. Absolutely. So, well, Jerry's locking him up now.
He's got, I mean, you know what? He's cut when he's 30. Sorry. Yeah, I know, Zeke, that's it. You got your money. Just know you're not running past 30.
That's funny. That would be funny if somebody said that, Jerry or Steven said that in the meeting. By the way, this is probably the last contract you'll be signing with us.
Yeah.
You think we're going to have a 31-year-old dinosaur in the backfield running the football, you've got another thing coming.
Hey, we got rid of the greatest runner of all time.
We've got another 6 years to find. Yeah, right. We totally did. We shipped – you get to go play for Arizona for a season. Are you kidding? They literally be like, yeah, we got 6 years to find you again. So enjoy the money. Enjoy it. What a short shelf life that position is. God, so amazing. We talk about quarterbacks playing in their upper 30s. Running backs get to 30. That's it.
Yep.
That's it. They're like, no. And so if you can, God bless you. But most of you can't.
And you got the rarest of rare exceptions.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, or
you got the Adrian Petersons that can still do it, right?
Yeah, or you have the, you know, I'll go back even further, like to Jerome Bettis.
Yeah, Jerome Bettis can still do it.
Jerome Bettis, because he was just goal line. That was it.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch tried to come back last year. He's over 30, right? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he tried to come back last year. I mean, you see, like, the name stars. Shady McCoy was cut by the Bills. The Bills!
Yeah, and there's no real guarantee he's going to do awesome things with the Chiefs, even though he's reuniting with Andy Reid. You're still like, I don't know.
But, I mean, he is the Bills. He's the only star player the Bills had, and they cut him. They're like, we don't need your marketing.
Yeah, Frank Gore is the unicorn, right? I mean, he's the outlier of all this, right? Because he'll run until whenever. I mean, good Lord. But still, I mean, it's a position where you get to be about 30, start looking for the exit signs, right? 30, 31, 32, start looking for the exit signs. This will put him at 30. If he's still somewhat effective, maybe he gets a one-year thing. I got to think that'd be it. And probably another young gun will come running through the Cowboys organization, take over again. But good for the Cowboys. They never thought they were going to sweat this one out. They always said that the deal would be done. I just thought he would miss some games. To me, and just the way I've seen this kind of play out before, is you let him sit out, you let him miss some games, and then you just see where you are and we're here. It's a gamble, right? It's a very big gamble. Because if you go 0-3 and the running game is terrible, then he has a lot of leverage. And then you go to the bargaining table with a little bit more of anxiety, right? Because now you're going to get fleeced a little bit more.
Right,
but if you're Elliott and they do show some, like they have a James Conner like appearance with Tony Pollard, then he goes to the bargaining table with anxiety.
They adjusted the numbers just a little bit. Now,
okay,
it's still 6 years, $90 million, $50 million of it's guaranteed.
Okay, so $50 million of it, still more than half.
Yeah,
still good money.
$50 million is guaranteed.
Yeah, it's not good, man. It's great. Good for him. 5 year, 6 year deal. They gave a 5 year extension to Lyle Collins. Who else? Now, Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott are still deals they got to work on.
Yeah, Dak Prescott's wanting $40 million. He'll get it now.
Well, shoot. I mean, my God. Right?
I mean, Dak Prescott holds out. What are you going to do?
I think to our credit, backup? Mr. Culver, I think we said this. Remember when they said $40 million? I said, if there's one owner that you could see paying this, would be Jerry Jones. You could see Jerry Jones going, $40 million? Absolutely. Why not? Sure. You could see Jones doing that. But, yeah.
Yeah. You think Cowboys are going to roll out with Cooper Rush?
Yeah. No, they ain't Cooper. Cooper Rush is as Dallas of a name as there ever was a name in the
I think
history
that's the only
sports.
Reason why he's on the team.
Yeah.
They were just looking like, oh, that's that guy's Dallas.
That's right. That is a Dallas name if there ever was a Dallas name.
There's no way that they're going to roll out with Cooper Rush in any game this year.
So
Dak, Dak, hold out. Hold out this week. You'll be ready by Sunday.
Some of these players think they must be working for, like, some sort of slot machine, right, that just keeps coming up sevens, right? I mean, he got Ezekiel Elliott got exactly what he wanted with no leverage whatsoever. That's amazing. With no leverage. Because what if Tony Pollard was fantastic? What if Tony Pollard rushed for 147 yards and 3 touchdowns against the Giants? Right? What if that was reality, and then he followed that up with a 120-yard, 2-touchdown game the following week? Right? Ezekiel Elliott would be like, oh, shoot. Because I'm under contract. I'm not a free agent. I can't go anywhere. And they've now found my replacement. And on the, like I said, the flip side is, what if Pollard can't run the ball? What if he runs 15 carries, 32 yards, fumbles twice, right? Then Ezekiel Elliott goes, I want $30 million a year.
Yep.
And they'll be like, oh, goodness gracious. We're going to blow up the record for a running back now because we can't blow this. But they got it done. 6 years, $90 million. All right, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM as we roll along on a Wednesday morning.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, prepare for road trips before your travels begin. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Oh, couldn't wait to get to this story. We got to go to the little baseball. So our favorite baseball team to pick on, the New York Mets, had been vying for a wild card spot in the National League. At one point, they were the hottest team in baseball. Remember that?
They were playing outside themselves.
They were explosive. And they were rising up through the National League wild card rankings. And at one point, even threatening the Atlanta Braves to the division lead. They were like 4 or 5 games out. You know, and they still had to play the Braves a couple times. But they were red hot. All right. Not so much anymore. So last night they were playing the Washington Nationals. And like we say, there is the way there are baseball teams who do things. And then the Mets do things in a very Metsy way. So last night they were playing the Nationals. And the game was 5-4 going into the top of the ninth inning. And the Mets scored 5 runs in the top of the ninth inning. Brandon Nimmo had a solo home run. Jeff McNeil had a 2-run single to make the game 8-4. And then Pete Alonso, who's just been a superstar this season, hit a solo 2-run home run. For Alonso, that was, his 44th home run of the season. So the Mets had a 10-4 lead at the top of the ninth. Very comfortable win. Get 3 outs on the Nats and get out of there. You got a 6-run lead. Trey Turner came up, had an RBI double, made the game 10-5. Still, okay. Anthony Rendon came up, had an RBI single. Now it's 10-6. All right, starting to sweat a little bit, but okay. Still a 4-run lead. Ryan Zimmerman, he steps to the plate. 2-run double, and it made the score 10-8. Still, 2-run lead. Not anymore. Kurt Suzuki, a 3-run home run, and the Nationals walk off with an 11-10 victory over the Mets. The Mets surrendered 7 runs in the bottom of the ninth inning to lose the game 11-10.
So you know how when you're looking at probability of winning percentage?
Yes.
The Mets at the top of the ninth, and at one point in the top of the ninth, 99.9% they were going to win that game.
And then it just falls like a, right off a table.
99. Well, maybe not 99. I got to check it out. I know it was 99%, maybe not 0.9. I always got to give that 1% chance that they'll lose it. But, I mean, still, 99%, that's a given. You just go
out
there.
Given.
You know, throw 3 balls. I mean, all you need is 3 outs. It could be ground outs, pop flies, doesn't matter.
Yeah, and you're the pitcher. You have 7 people behind you that will do everything they have to make sure that they get outs. And that's it. And they gave up 7 runs. My God, what a comeback. How many National fans stayed in the ninth inning to watch this unbelievable comeback? Because when I was watching the highlights, there were a lot of empty seats.
Yeah, if you're asking today, anyone who bragged that they were going to the game.
Yep, exactly.
Every single person.
It's like what was the guy's? Don Beebe once said. He said, I've met 1.5 million people that were at our comeback game against the Houston Oilers.
Yep.
It's the same thing here. What a comeback.
I've always said this too. You know, the guy, very famous when you're watching Kirk Gibson hit that home run.
Yeah.
And you see there's a car leaving the parking lot and you see brake lights hit. I'm certain he was listening to it on the radio.
Right.
And then he was like, oh, I'll just tune into it, but the game's probably over. And you see the brake lights hit. I guarantee that person to this day doesn't admit that he left game one.
No, that's right. That's absolutely correct. Yep. All the time. God, it's I got to be honest with you, man. If I took my family to a game on a school night, work night, I would have left.
And it's 10-4?
Yeah. It's 10-4, I would have left.
10-4, you're done.
I said, let's go, honey. Let's pack up the kids and get going. We're going to, we'll listen to the rest on the way home, but this one's done. And here's the other thing, too. Mr. Sports genius that I am, my wife would have said, might have said, maybe not, she might have said, well, you never know. Honey, no one comes back from a 6-run deficit in the bottom of the ninth.
Right.
Let's go home. No one does. And then the Washington Nationals did it. Wow. Amazing. Unbelievable.
That's such a Mets thing.
Such a Mets thing to do. Come on, man.
Thank God they're back.
Yeah, thank God they're back to their comical self.
I'm hoping that this, brings them back all the way.
If you do the highlights of the game, you should play the Keystone Cops music underneath while the Washington Nationals are scoring all of their runs. And just make it more of a comedy bit. Maybe Benny Hill music. Like, you could just make it more of a comedy highlight reel. Because that had to have been painful. Now, picture a guy in Queens, like, who stayed up to watch the ending of that game. And just watching that fall apart. 7 runs in the bottom of the ninth inning. And now the Mets are 5 games out of the wild card. But that doesn't sound like a lot. You're like, oh, that sounds like... They've got a ton of teams ahead of them. So here is the Washington Nationals radio call of their come from behind.
Kurt Suzuki, see you later. The Nats have won it. 7 runs in the bottom of the ninth. And now everyone dances. Unbelievable. Are you kidding me, Kurt Suzuki?
Okay, I don't like it when sportscasters use the term unbelievable, because I've always said an elephant walking on a wire, that's unbelievable. But things in sports are usually, believable. But that's unbelievable. That's the right word to use in this. A 7-run bottom of the ninth inning, that is unbelievable. That's the correct term. Like when somebody makes a catch and they go, unbelievable. I'm like, well, they're a professional baseball player, or if it's a football catch, that's what they do for a living. That's what they practice. The PGA Tour does this way too much, where they have a tough lie. They go, oh, this is a tough lie. He'll be lucky to get it to 3 feet. And he puts it to 3 feet. And they're like, that's an unbelievable shot. Not really. He does this 10 hours a day, every day. But that is unbelievable. 7 runs in the bottom of the ninth. So let's, just out of curiosity, let's hear how the Mets call this travesty of a baseball game.
Long drive, deep left field, back goes Nimmo, and the Nationals have won this game. Kurt Suzuki with a walk-off 3-run homer in the bottom of the ninth. The Nats score 7 runs in the bottom of the ninth and hand the Mets a devastating loss.
That sounded like a lot of people there. Did it not?
It really did.
Right? Like I'm watching the highlights, and I was watching the highlights, and like, a lot of people left. But there was enough people there to make that loud.
Well,
that sounded like a playoff victory.
I'm thinking his mic was in the middle of the crowd.
Maybe so. Maybe among the 100 people that had collected themselves near the area where the microphone was.
Now, I know it's radio, and when you're broadcasting baseball games, you can't be too biased, but I'm a little upset that there was too much enthusiasm.
I was hoping
for a Bob Uecker moment.
I would have loved that, like where it was, Kurt Suzuki, oh, you've got to be kidding me. A 3-run walk-off home run. Does it get any lower than this for our lowly New York Mets? We'll be here tomorrow night, hopefully, if we don't all just quit doing this thing called baseball. Oh, goodness. By the way, they're playing this afternoon, so expect more fun and frivolity from the New York Mets. What a loss last night. Crazy. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next on a Wednesday, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Wednesday. Let's go to the good.
Oh, what a good we have.
All right.
Yeah, I think there's only one bad thing about this good.
Which is?
Its release date.
Oh, okay.
HBO is coming out with a documentary. I'm trying to figure out, I don't know if it's a series or if it's just a one-off. But it's The Art of Coaching.
Saw this last night, yep.
Featuring Belichick and Saban.
And the highlights were really good. The what do you call it, the preview highlights of it?
Yeah.
Were really good.
Hey, that's, you know what, let's go.
Then he says, by the way, Dad, how many headsets did you break this year?
We go back a long ways, and we had experiences that we both kind of learned from.
In retrospect, it might have been better for us had we lost one somewhere along the way.
But when you get to the top of the mountain, you become the mountain.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to these two talking.
Yeah.
About coaching, all the observations of coaching. I think it's going
to
be great.
I mean, I was trying to think back. Have we really had this? Where we have like the top, we have a clear top NFL coach and a clear top college football coach.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, we probably have like, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I guess you can make an argument all the time. I mean, maybe if you had Bear Bryant, but who would have been the top? Would have been Bear Bryant and Vince Lombardi.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, yeah. You have to go way back.
I mean, pre-Belichick, who's considered the top NFL coach? In the NFL, Parcells,
but I mean, but he didn't win as consistent as Belichick has.
No, but before we knew about Belichick,
maybe Bill Walsh.
Like before Belichick took over the Patriots, yeah, maybe Bill Walsh. That's probably the right answer.
And who would have been the top college coach at the time?
That was in the '80s.
That was winning consistently.
Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson. Joe Paterno.
I mean, right? But it's just
in the '80s.
But it's not a clear number one. It's a clear consensus. We'll all say who's the best college football
right.
coach.
Oh yeah,
right
no
now.
Doubt, absolutely.
You know, for the last 5 years, Nick Saban.
Yeah, if you were to write an article that said the best NFL coach in the last 10 years has been Jason Garrett, right? Like you would have to make a really, really amazing case because nobody would believe you, right? But you could say in the '80s, like this guy or this guy or this guy, yeah, you could bounce around a little bit. '80s, '90s, you could bounce around a little bit with some other guys and make a case for him. But no, Belichick's the greatest coach in the NFL, and Saban is the greatest coach in college football. And you're right; these are clearly two top of the line guys that everybody agrees on. And if you don't agree on it, you better come prepared to defend that point.
The only people who are not agreeing on it, maybe Clemson.
Yeah, maybe Clemson.
Maybe Clemson.
But even then,
there.
It's still too early.
Yeah. I mean, we can't say that Dabo's got what Nick Saban has.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that these two coach together.
Right, with the Cleveland Browns.
With the Cleveland Browns. I don't know. I just, the stories that they're going to swap back and forth. And it looks very, I mean, you also have two people who press conferences are like, provide us the greatest sense of humor from them.
Well, that you know that's the,
or
the thing about
of humor, I should
I'm going to say this about Belichick, and I, you know, when he gets on those podiums and he doesn't want to say anything, and he's very sure with the answers. But I've seen him in some of these documentary settings where he opens up, where he will talk and he continue, and they're really interesting and they're compelling, and a lot of it is the content that he talks about, but a lot of it is also because we don't see it normally from him. He's not the guy that gets on the podium and rants about this or rants about that. Now, Saban will. If Saban has no problem, if you say to Nick Saban, hey, Nick, what are your thoughts on this upcoming game against Mississippi State, let's say, right? And let's say it he can take the talk about that game and lead it into officiating or the inconsistency of officiating. He'll go off on that tangent and then let you know how he feels about this and let you know how he feels about this issue or that issue. He'll do that occasionally, and it's whether you agree with him or not, it's you at least get that. With Belichick, you have to kind of get him off of the podium to get him to do that, but when he does, it's good stuff. And it looks to me, by just the preview alone, that HBO has gotten him to do that. And they did it with the there was a 30 for 30 on Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick that they where they talked about their history together. I found that amazing. I found that really refreshing. So I'm looking forward to this. But when did you say it was released? December?
December 10th.
Ugh, that's too long.
Yeah.
That's too long. Release it tomorrow.
Release it now. Before the season starts.
What are you sitting on it for? What is it, sweeps week? What are you doing? What are you releasing it? Why aren't you releasing it now? I got to wait for the entire college football season to get that?
Yeah, I mean, what if they're not good?
Right.
I mean, I know it's not going to happen, but what if they're not good?
What if they're not? Right. All right, so what is the bad for the day?
The bad of the day, and it's not so bad for you or I. It's bad for one particular female. Leonardo DiCaprio was spotted playing a pickup volleyball game with the supermodel girlfriend. I cannot remember her name, but
does it really matter?
It doesn't really matter. But here's why it's bad. She's 22. We have talked about this on the show that there is clear evidence of when Leo decides to end relationships. And that age is 25.
Right.
So I'm saying it's bad because she has to know she only has 3 years left. Up to
right.
3 years left.
That's it. That's all you got.
And the question I have is, like, is that worth it?
To hang out with Leo for 3 more years?
Yeah. You know you have no future with him.
Right.
Or do you give yourself that false hope that, you know what, I'm going to be the one that changes him?
Is she a supermodel where she has her own serious money? Or is she just a model trying to make it in the modeling world?
No, I don't say. I think she's an actual supermodel.
Okay, well then, yeah, you might stop it. Can I ask a question about this? And listen, don't give me the standard answer here, which is he's Leo, he's a movie star, he's rich. There are young guys who are movie stars and are rich and are good looking. What is it about Leo in his mid-40s that these 20-year-olds just can't get enough of? He's in his mid-40s. He's not Jack on the Titanic from 1997.
Yeah, to them, right?
He's like Jack's dad, right? That he's like Jack's father now. And yet, he's still got a bevy of supermodels that can't wait to be part of the harem.
Yeah, and then this one in particular, she would have been one.
Right. That's my point.
If she just turned 22 this year, she was born the year Titanic came out.
Exactly. Exactly. One of my wife and I's first dates was seeing Titanic in the movie theater. And we've been married forever. Okay. Forever.
So yeah, she doesn't even know Miss Jack.
Right. So that's it. Was she so impressed by Gangs of New York? Did his portrayal of Howard Hughes win her over? Like, what is Leonardo DiCaprio? What's the heartthrob role that he's had in the last 15 years that makes a 20-year-old who was barely alive when Titanic came out run to Leo? And again, I get money, I get Hollywood, and I get all that. But I'm just saying, girlfriends.
He's got power in Hollywood.
And maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Because Leo can put in whoever he wants in a movie.
Yeah, but are you trying to tell me that The Revenant wasn't a hot heartthrob role for him?
Right? Yeah, right? Right? Like, Titanic we got, right? The girls, like, love Jack. He was like, oh, he's going to get me away from my mom and dad, my stuffy mom and dad. Take me downstairs, mm-hmm. and we're going to party and dance on tables. Yes. But then you've got to give him room on that stupid piece of wood when he's freezing to death in the ocean. Fat Rose, move over and let him on that thing. You would have had a great life with him. Never mind. Anyway, I just curious thought on Leonardo DiCaprio. Because to me, he's just, it's a never-ending line of supermodels at his disposal to join the cult.
Endless.
It really is. I mean,
endless.
It's just amazing. I mean, when you look at that list, I mean, it's not just supermodels. It's been hot actresses, young actresses at that time. And it's just, you know, but it's that list that you see where somebody put it into a graph how his age keeps going up, but he doesn't date someone over the age of 25.
Remember, this
he cuts it off at 25.
Tom Brady married a woman. Leonardo DiCaprio went, "Eh, I'm moving on."
Yeah. Take that, Boston.
Take that. Yeah, take that, Boston. Exactly. Oh, that's right. That's a good point. If you're 22, do you look at the go tick, 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 tick?
Yeah. I mean, when you're in that final year, you're like, oh, it's coming any minute. It's going to come any. I mean, do you dump him?
Do you just say,
you know
what?
I'm out. I know you're going to break up with me. I'm out.
It's like being at a job where you have a project, and as soon as the project's over, you're going to get let go.
Yeah.
Like, well, do I stay to finish the project or do I just move on to a job that's got more security here? Maybe every one of them thinks they're going to be Hannah Davis, like when she landed Derek Jeter.
Maybe every one of them just thinks,
I'm the one.
They're the one.
When Leo's going to wake up one day and want to have a wife and kids, and I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to be the girl.
Yeah, I think I saw that movie. He didn't want it there either.
No. All right, what's the dumb?
The dumb of the day. I was going to talk about this company that wants to build a hotel in space.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be such a great idea.
I don't know about that one.
But we can touch the base on that later. But I am going to – I do want to bring up that the death of binge watching seems to be upon us now.
Really?
Yeah. All these streaming – and I don't know if it's – I mean, Netflix is doing it now where Netflix has released – I can't remember what show it is. It's like a baking show. Britain's Next Great Baker or something like that. But they're releasing it. They're releasing one episode each week.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I'm saying the death of binge watching is done unless you wait for the entire season to finish.
Right.
And then you can watch them all. But, you know, before, like Netflix, you know, take Stranger Things, for example. They just release all 8 episodes, 10 episodes, whatever, what have you, all at once. And then you could go and you could say, you know what? I've got nothing to do this weekend. I'm going to watch every single episode right here, right now.
Are they doing that just so that because there are some subscribers who go, I'm just going to take it for the next 2 months and then I'm going to quit. Then I'll come back when they got more stuff 3 months, 4 months later. I'll rewatch all that and I'll quit again.
I don't know. I don't know if it's getting pressure because Disney Plus immediately came out and said, yeah, we're just going to do one episode a week.
Got it.
So, I mean, there's all these streaming services because, I mean, the big thing now is, you know, everyone's going to compete with each other. And now that Disney is jumping into the game, you know, non-traditional streaming service is jumping into the game. I think people are going to be like, oh, no, we got to compete with them.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, maybe this is Netflix move. Like, okay, maybe that's what the people want. Maybe people don't want to binge watch. You know, maybe they want the suspense. And let's face it, I mean, you only do one episode. That kind of keeps you hanging around Netflix,
does
too.
Of course, right? You keep your subscription longer if it's once, you know.
Yeah, get you interested in other shows.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. So I'm not sure how to feel about it because, on the one hand, it is kind of fun to just sit there and just ramble off one
Man,
season.
Man, when I'm not feeling good, dude, that's my favorite thing to do. When I'm sick and my wife goes, don't leave the bed. I'm like, I'm not. I'm not planning on it. Give me the remote.
Just get it. Just keep that Netflix subscription
up. When you come back home from work, you'll see me right here doing the exact same thing you see me doing right now, 8 hours later. All right.
Well, there's nothing better than when you're watching a brand new series and you see 10 seconds left.
Exactly.
10 seconds till next episode. You're like, yeah.
Exactly. All right. That is the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Wednesday, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could join us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, Ezekiel Elliott, 6-year extension, they got it done. By the way, this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. On Twitter, Robert Cooper Rush, a Michigan guy, Central Michigan U. And why do you think the National Writers are so down on the Lions? Patricia, appearance too sloppy and snarky? I'm not high on the Lions, Mr. Robert. I'm not high on them either. I don't know, maybe middle of the road, 9-7? No, 8-8, 7-9? If that, 6-10?
Yeah, 6-10.
No, I don't think they're...
I don't think they're good at all.
I think it's probably a 5-7 win season for them.
True. True.
Unfortunately.
Cooper Rush may be a Michigan guy, but that is a very Dallas-y sounding name, does it not?
That sounds like a name.
If you were to create like a sitcom or not a sitcom, like a drama show like Dallas back in the 80s, that sounds like a name you would give a guy, a character on the show.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. The two most cowboy sounding names aren't even playing for him. I mean, you got Cooper Rush is playing for him now, but I mean, he's not originally from there. But the guy who is originally from there, who I thought should have been a cowboy all along, even if he held a clipboard his entire career, was Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy is very Texas-y.
You can't get more Texas than Colt McCoy.
Yeah. When he was the quarterback of the Longhorns, that was an appropriate marriage of name and school.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, if you think about it, if he was to be with the Cowboys and only be a backup for his entire career, he would have the probably the most successful car dealership chain in the North Dallas, North Texas area.
Again, if you were writing a TV show about like football in Texas, like Friday Night Lights or something, you sat down in a meeting and you said, what's the main character, the quarterback, what's his name? And you said, Colt McCoy. You'd probably have the producer go, no, that let's not go crazy.
Yeah.
That sounds gimmicky. We can't do that.
We got to make it more relatable to people outside of Texas.
I mean, come on. We're doing a show about Texas and you want to call him Colt McCoy? I mean, my God. I mean, like, let's just go with Jim Smith. Is that a little bit more reasonable? But yeah, Colt McCoy in Texas, that was perfect. Should have been a cowboy. Ezekiel Elliott is a 6-year deal. My goodness. Now, let's talk more about the Denver Broncos. It's AFC West week as we continue along our previews on SB Nation AM.